Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
That's the kind of encouragement that I love. Thank you so much. God is so good. Amen. Amen. Let's just let the Holy Spirit settle for just a minute. Let me first just say this. Welcome. Welcome to Hope Elim. This is an amazing church. I am so grateful and so thankful to be a part of it. I just want to introduce myself. My name is Minister Bonnie Williams. I am the Adult Discipleship Coordinator here, and I am standing here before you because God has called me to preach the gospel. Amen? Amen. And out of my love and obedience for him and my desire to please him, I will preach the word. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the word of God says that the person of the Holy Spirit is given to us to illuminate the word of God, to open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, our spiritual ears, to be able to hear what thus saith the Lord. So I just praise you. I thank you that the Spirit is here. I thank you that the atmosphere is pregnant, Heavenly Father, with seeds, Lord God, from the praise and the worship, and that if we are willing to receive what you have for us today, it's going to take root, because the Bible promises us that when the word goes forth, it will not come back void. We're going to give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to welcome all of you here today and let you know that we are continuing in our series, Bible Heroes After God's Own Heart. Now, we know that last week, Pastor Brown preached about Abraham and the testing of our faith. God knows the intent of our heart. He knows the posture of our heart. And when we are looking for our God to bless us, God will test our faith to see if when he gives the blessing to us that we will not love the blessing more than the one who blesses us. So Abraham passed that test, amen. He went all the way through with what God had asked him to do with his son Isaac. And at the very last moment, God said, you've passed the test. I now know that I am everything that I need to be to you and for you. Amen? All right. So today what we're going to talk about is Rahab. And we're going to talk about the deliverance of faith. Because if I can be honest with everybody in here, including myself, all of us need to be delivered from something. Yeah, we need to be delivered from something. Maybe it's abuse. Maybe you do not love yourself the way that God calls you to love yourself. Maybe you are in a position where you are being misused and you don't have the power within yourself to leave that situation. Maybe you need to be delivered from a negative reputation, that no matter where you go, that reputation hangs around and you need God to deliver you from that situation. Maybe some here need to be delivered from the guilt and the shame that plagues the thoughts due to decisions that you've made in the past. That no matter how many times you have tried to get over that guilt, that shame that you feel every time those thoughts come forward, you just can't seem to get over it. Maybe somebody here needs to be delivered from drinking. Maybe somebody needs to be delivered from smoking, shopping for shoes. Hey, wait a minute. How'd that get in here? Maybe there are some in here who watch too many Red Sox games. We don't know any Red Sox fans in the house, do we, sis? Special K, do we know any Red Sox fans? Huh? Benjamin? Too late now, they know. Maybe you need to be delivered from the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief will hold you hostage from believing that God loves you, that God has a plan for your life that is so much bigger and so much greater than what you could ever possibly think or imagine. The sin of unbelief is what kept the Israelites from being able to cross over into the promised land, because they said, "We be not able." The need for deliverance is going to be going on in a part of our lives and will remain on this side of heaven because of sin. When we fall short, when we fail, when we make wrong decisions, I hate to tell you, but the Word of God says that we reap what we sow. So as long as sin is on this side of heaven, we are going to need God to deliver us from those things that sin brings into our life. Psalm 51:5, King David says this, "For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me." And also the Word of God says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Every single one of us has been born in and with the sin nature. We need God to deliver us from sin. What I want to tell you this is, the beautiful thing is that even when we fall short, God promises us that when we learn to live and walk by faith and daily surrender, not to our will, but to His, we actively invite God's presence and supernatural power into our circumstances. I don't know about you, but that is the one thing that I need more than anything, is God's supernatural power to enter into my situation and circumstance. And why is that? Because He's willing to take whatever is happening and He's willing to flip it inside out, upside down, because we give Him permission to turn our mess into a miracle. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that God is a God who will deliver us from whatever we need Him to deliver us from. He can do it. He can and He will. So as we move on to Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the Great Hall of Faith. And in that particular chapter, we learn about ordinary men and women who discover what God can do when people are willing to walk, live, and act by faith. Now, why would the author of Hebrews give us these examples? Why would he do that? Well, he's writing to the New Testament believers, and if you are here and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You are the New Testament believers. And so we need to hear it. Why? For the purpose of empowering us to learn from these Old Testament saints that if they can do it, so can we. We need that example, don't we? How many times have you been in a situation where you need to learn something and you say to yourself, "Well, shoot, if he can do it, I can do it," right? And so God gives us that opportunity to learn from them, and that's what we're going to do today. Amen? So let me just say this, and let me just premise this, because this is absolutely what was in my spirit for us today. You know, as we learn to live by faith, we become a son or daughter of God, and we are in this relationship, and we start taking these steps of faith in our journey. I want you to know that some are harder than others. In fact, there are going to be times that you're going to want to feel like you want to give up, like you want to throw in the towel. In fact, you may no longer feel worthy of God's love. Maybe there's someone here who doesn't feel worthy of God's amazing plan. You read the Word of God and you see all the other people around you being blessed, but you don't see it for yourself. And it's easy for us to be strong in our walk when everything's going right. We got the sparkly shoes on. Hey, what's up? We come out, we're like, "God is good," right? But what happens? I see you laughing. I know where you live. But what happens when we make mistakes? What happens when we fall? What happens when we make a decision and we know that decision is something that is not only going to hurt ourselves but hurt the people around us? What do we do in those moments of doubt, especially when you feel like you're failing God? And I'm here to tell you that's the one person I do not want to fail. And it breaks my heart when I think about failing my God with all that He's done for me. Well, I'm here to reassure you that there are many people in the Word, all through the Word of God, every story, and many of them you will find that they themselves who loved God, who walked with God, they found themselves doubting where they were, how God felt about them, so much so that in Psalm 119, verse 8, and the song that we heard from the worship team lets us know that at times we are going to cry out and we are going to ask God, please don't give up on me yet. I know I've come so far, but I've got so far to go. Please, please don't leave me here alone. I don't know about you, but I needed that. I needed to hear that song. I needed to be encouraged to know that God will never give up on you. Amen. So I'm going to ask you a question. Have any of you guys ever been in a relationship where that person walked away from you? That person turned their back? It was a person that you thought was going to be your BFF, you know, your ride or die. All of that, and they end up leaving. And I'm here to tell you, somebody needs to hear this today other than myself. God is not like that. God is not like that. You need to hear that. Quit looking at God and who He is by looking at what man has done to you. God is not like that. And I'm here to tell you, and if you leave with nothing else today, God loves you. And He will never leave you, and He will never give up on you. Never. I just want to take a moment. I thank the worship team in the back room, but they put in so much of their hearts, their souls. They set the stage for the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to take a moment. Is that all right? That we just thank our worship team and say thank you so very much. Jed is learning from me that I love new songs. So a couple of times I've gone to preach and I'll go down the hallway and I know that he's in his office going, don't bring a new song, don't bring a new song. And I'm like, Jed, and he's like, you brought a new song, didn't you? I am so glad that God hit his target today, and I'm just so grateful for his faithfulness. So listen, as we turn back to the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11:31, we come across a very unlikely candidate to be included in this particular faith museum. Of all the people mentioned for their great faith, you would think, I would think, we would think that she does not belong. Let's take a look. So this is Hebrews 11:31. This is where it's the chapter where it talks about all of the people and their great faith. By faith, it says, by faith, Abraham, by faith. And here it comes, by faith, the prostitute Rahab. What? The prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. I think that it's very important that we learn just a little bit more about Rahab, because all of us have a past in this room. And what you need to know and understand is that God will overcome anything in your past if you give your heart to Him. So, listen a little bit about Rahab, a little bit of background. Rahab was a citizen of Jericho. Jericho was one of the principal seats of idol worship. In fact, they worshiped Ashtaroth, the goddess moon. And she had only experienced the corruption, the wickedness, everything that was going on within that pagan culture. And we know that we tend to be products of our environment. And what we need to know is this. She probably indulged in every bit of it because that was all she knew. That was all she was able to experience. Because remember, she didn't benefit from the godly leadership of Moses or Joshua. She was in a situation where she had no one to show her anything different. And maybe that's somebody in here. Maybe you grew up and you didn't have the opportunity to have godly leadership in your home. Maybe your family didn't go to church. Maybe you were shown an example that was so far left of being right that you are fighting even now against that because God is telling you that you are more than your past, that you are more than your experience, that you are more than what you have been taught. Not only that, what is so cool is that Rahab was a Gentile. She was not even a Jew. She was not or belonged to the people of God based on her historical background. And here's the thing. God purposely many times talks about and lists Rahab the prostitute. Why did God do that? Over and over and over again. Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the prostitute. Because I think that the Word of God repeats it over and over and over again because the enemy will strategically bring up, pull up, dredge up your past mistakes because he wants to constantly figure out a way to discourage you and dissuade you and to tell you that you are not qualified to do what God has called you to do. But can I tell you something? It is especially encouraging to me because of this. Let me tell you this, God can and will use anyone that he chooses to. And here's another thing, he doesn't need anybody else's permission to choose who he has called to use. Because here's what will happen. You'll be in a situation where you might have opposition. I remember when God called me into a very unique situation, and hear my heart. And we all know it is now for such a time as this. I grew up unchurched. I went to church one time at the age of 9. Then I walked into a church at 21. St. Paul, African Methodist Episcopal Church, down on 12th and Day. Now, I am here to tell you that it was folks of African-American descent and me. And when I came into the church, I just knew in my spirit that that was where God had called me. And when I was in there for years, all of a sudden one day I heard the Holy Spirit say, Bonnie, I've called you to the gift of evangelism. I want you to preach the gospel. So what do? I go to the pastor and I say, hey, I want to get into the program that will help to ordain me to preach the gospel. And so when I went to all of the meetings, year after year after year, at the meetings, it was all of the folk and me. And in that situation one day, all of the pastors and the ministers were up front. And one of the ladies said to me, I'm going to ask you a question. I suppose that you don't see color. Is that what you're gonna tell us? It was all the ordained folks. And I said, well, how long do I have to answer that question? She said, take as much time as you need. And when I prayed, the Holy Spirit said, would you please tell her, did I not give you eyes to see? Would you please tell her that I am God and that I created every one of my children, red and yellow, black and white, and they are precious in my sight. And that the issue of sin and the ability to preach the gospel does not have to do with our politics. It does not have to do with the color of our skin. It does not have to do with our social status. It has to do with the condition of your heart. Why did I share that with you? Because I would get out to my car and I would say, I can't do this. I am so afraid. God, let me stop this process. It hurt. It hurt to be looked at differently. It hurt to be told, we don't understand why you're here, because it was different. But God told me to stay. And I'm here to tell you right now, whatever God has called you to do, whatever he has called you and equipped you to do, the Bible says that he has equipped you before the foundations of the world with the gifts that he has given to you. And the Bible says he gives them to us without repentance. That means that man can't take it away. God gave it to you, and man can't take it away. I don't know who this is for, but I'm going to say it. You got to know that you know. That you know that you know. That you know that you know. That you know that you know who you are and whose you are in Christ Jesus. So, what is the Holy Spirit wanting you to know today more than the enemy's voice whispering to you, bringing up things of your past, lying to you, trying to convince you that you aren't qualified? Well, let's take a look. God uses those with a past. There's no choice that you can or ever will make, no scars too deep, no mistakes too big that will keep you from the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So, the story of Rahab is explained in chapters 2 through 6. In Joshua 2:15, it tells us that her house happened to be built right inside the walls of Jericho, the very walls that God was going to supernaturally have come tumbling down so that the Israelites could take over the land. And what happened was when the strangers came in, they thought to themselves, well, I bet you that if we were to go to Rahab the prostitute's house, that more than likely folks aren't going to notice us going in. But that was not the case. The Bible goes on to tell us that it was told to the king of Jericho that the spies had come into Rahab's house, so somebody went and told the king. And when I was growing up, that was called a tattletale. Ooh, you tattle. So what ended up happening in verse 3 is it says the king of Jericho sent men to her house saying this, "Bring out the men who have come to you and have entered your house, for they have come to search out the country." But instead, Rahab took the men up onto the roof and hid them there. And then her response to the men from the king, "Yes, the men came to me and I didn't know where they came from. And it happened that as the gate was being shut and it was dark outside, the men went out. Where the men went, I don't know. I would suggest that you pursue them and try to overtake them quickly." Now, here's what I want to say. Hold up. Wait a minute. Did we just read that girlfriend told a lie? Oh, naughty, naughty. Girlfriend told a lie. And I want to address that. With all sincerity, there are times in our lives, even as Christians, that we justify telling a lie. That we don't tell necessarily the whole truth. And we need to understand that in this particular case, there needs to be clarity. In this particular scenario, there were two sins on the table, okay? The one sin on this side is that she needed to lie to the king, okay, about where they were. And on the other one, it was telling the lie. And what I want you to know and understand, and there are other examples in the Bible, is that in this particular situation, God honored what she chose because she chose to bring God glory by hiding the spies. Thank you. I just want to make sure you were listening. That's all. Now, this does not apply if you were to, like, maybe bring home, like, a candy bar or a Snickers or something, and then somebody in your house says that they don't know where it's at and that they actually hid it or, you know, you weren't able to find it. That is not what God would approve of. Can we all say amen? Saying. So let's ponder this. God did exactly what God wanted her to do. She didn't turn in the spies, and I want you to see what her response was to them. I absolutely love it. Let's take a look. What I want you to see in here is that this is where Rahab went from not believing in the God of Israel to choosing to believe in God. Let's take a look. She says, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, that the terror of you has fallen us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan. As soon as we heard," now notice that, she said, "as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did they remain any more encouraged in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven and above and on the earth beneath. Do you hear what she's saying? Hear what she's saying. She said, we heard you all were coming. And more than that, we heard about your God, that He delivered you, that He opened the Red Sea. And then she says it. She said, I have made a decision that I am going to align myself with you and your God. Whoop, there it is. The statement of faith that allowed God permission and access into her life to deliver her and her family from being killed. That was the statement of faith that opened up the door to that relationship. And remember what I said, she used plurals. Did you notice that? We heard, we were afraid. Here's what you need to pay attention to. When no one else wanted to do right, when all of the rest of the folks that were all around her, she had to make a decision. She had a change of heart. And it is not easy to go against the crowd. It is not easy to do your own thing. Why? Because we want folks to like us. We want folks to make us feel like we belong. And I'm here to tell you that it is so important to have the same courage and the same strength that it took her to go against her own folks, to go against her own culture, everything that she was familiar with, everything that she had heard about. Her allegiance was now with God. And listen, you can't miss this part. She believed and acted in faith without experiencing yet. What? She believed and acted in faith without experiencing it yet. Well, what is the it? She had not experienced the evidence of God's power to save her and her family. She had not experienced God overcoming her situation. She had yet to experience the God providing a way of escape. Because the definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Rahab reminds us that in our moments of weakness, when we feel small, when we feel powerless, when you are being overwhelmed by life's challenges, feeling like you don't have the strength to even make it another day, Rahab let us know there is a source of our strength and of our victory that's available to us, and it is in the personal relationship with God. God is your divine assurance. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Is that what not Rahab did? She said, I believe in your God, and she said, and I'm going to align myself with you and with Him. So here's the question. Let's take a look. By faith, who are you aligning yourself with? Are you desiring the approval and seeking the popularity of the world and the acceptance of man? Who has your heart? I can tell you right now that someone has your heart. Does the Word have your heart? Does the world have your heart? Who are you seeking to please? The Apostle Paul tells us here in Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win the favor and approval of men or of God? Or am I seeking to please someone? If I were still trying to be popular with men, I would not be a bondservant to Jesus Christ. And the reason why I bring this up, and hear me, at some point in your relationship with God and you keep walking with Him and talking with Him and He keeps testing your faith and you keep passing those tests and God begins to elevate you, I'm here to tell you that one day you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose God, or you're going to have to choose the crowd. You're going to have to choose the acceptance of man or the acceptance of God, because you can't please both. God tests our hearts in this way, and this is one of the realities. When you become more and more committed to Christ, you're going to find yourself that it's going to be you and God. And that has to be more than enough. It doesn't mean that people around us don't love us or that we don't have family, but I am telling you that when right needs to be done and God is asking you to do what is right and he's asking you to enter into that relationship and he's asking you to go left when everybody else is going right, you're going to have to make a choice. And you're going to be rewarded because of that choice. So, let me just share this, and I've shared it before, but very briefly. When God called me to preach the gospel, the only father figure I knew, the only person that was really close in my life was my brother. And when I told him that I believe God was calling me to accept the call to preach, what his response was, if you choose to go and tell people about Jesus, then I will no longer be your brother. And when you've only had a father figure, you know, like that, if there's anybody in the house where you have desired with all of your heart to have a father figure or a mother figure, and the person, the only person that you know of leaves, it was a gut-wrencher. But can I tell you what my response was to my brother after I cried, after I was on my knees, after I went through all of the hurt and the heartache? As I said to my brother, I love you so very much. But what you need to understand is that you can't save my soul. You can't forgive me of my sin. You can't assure me the salvation of heaven. So as much as I love you, brother, okay. But then what God did is he asked me to do a little bit of what Rahab did. And over many, many years, 15 years, he did not speak to me. Not one word. Over 15 years, I continued to show him love. I showed acts of kindness before God ever gave me the evidence of giving me back that brother relationship. And after 15 years, I just want to tell you, God gave him back to me. Amen? So, what comes next in the story of Rahab, I'm going to tell you right now, it is off the hook and it is crack-a-lackin'. I say this because after she makes her decision to align herself with being on God's side, what comes out of her mouth, she cuts a deal with the spies. This girl is a bad mamma jamma, sis. Rahab is like, listen, I need something from you. And you know what? The Bible says we have not because we ask not. So let's take a look. I love her response. Let's look. Woo. She says, therefore, in light of my decision to choose who?
God.
Who?
God.
We can do better than that. Who?
God.
There you go. I beg you, swear by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house. Give me a true token. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Woo! Rahab chose God over culture. She chose God over the world that she was familiar with. She chose God over what was comfortable. She chose to do what was right when right needed to be done. And because of that, she was able to have an expectant heart. Have you guys ever done that where you've stood up for what is right and then you can feel that encouragement, that power within you because you're like, man, this was tough. This was a tough situation, but I know that I did what was right, right? And then you feel this security and this confidence because you're like, you know what? You may not have liked the decision that I made, but I knew that I did what was right in the sight of God. And I promise you, God is watching. God is watching. And he loves you. And he wants to reward you. The Bible says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and desire to please his heart. God is so good. So here's the thing. That's typically not how we do it, right? We cut a deal and then we say to God, okay, well now God, do what I ask you to do first. And then if you do what I ask you to do, well then this is what I'll do. And so here's what happens with that. That is not walking by faith. That is walking by sight. You are asking God to do something for you before you're willing to do something for him. That is not faith. And so what he wants you to do is he wants you to trust him without seeing before he gives you something to see. Amen? God bless me with more money and then I'll begin to tithe. Because right now, I with what I'm making now, I mean, but can I tell you something? Everything that you have is because of him anyway. It's all his. And if you really are looking for God to bless you, be obedient and do what God tells you to do. God, answer my prayers, and then I will serve you in the capacity that you have called. God, bless me with this, and then I will. But the faith choice must precede the deal. Ask yourself these questions. What acts of kindness can you offer up? How can you be a blessing to your church? What need does your family have that you could meet while you're waiting for God to deliver you from your situation? While you're waiting for God to meet the need that you have. And here's the next one. And hold on to your hats. Hold on to your pews. What is God asking for you to do that you are telling him no? Abraham passed the test because every step of the way, as God said, do this, do that, do this, do that, Abraham said, here I am, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And God is asking us to say, yes, Lord. I promise you that he's got you. I promise you that you can entrust yourself to him. And the best way that you can prove your faith to him is to do what he's asking you to do while you're waiting in the in-between. Go on and get her done. Be the blessing that God has called you to be. All right, so here's the challenge. While you're waiting, partner yourself with acts of obedience. Whatever it is that God asks you to do, do it. And then you will see God's supernatural power and provision and protection be released in your life. Amen? All right. So in Joshua chapter 6, Joshua and his army marched around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, and on the seventh day, the trumpets blew and the walls came tumbling down. But here is what is so cool. All the wall came tumbling down except the part where Rahab's house was built in. God honored her request. God honored her ask to be protected. And so there she was, and God showed her she got the miracle covering that she asked for. God did exactly what he said he would do. And here's the thing. What you need to understand about God is that God has so much more for you than what it is that you're currently asking him to do. There's so much more. Listen to what happened to Rahab. Afterwards, she was transported to Israel because Jericho had been destroyed. She eventually meets a man named Salmon, who happens to be a very affluent family, and he was the architect for the city of Babylon. They end up getting married. What? She got herself a man. They ended up getting married. They had a baby boy, Boaz, who eventually marries Ruth. Ruth has a baby named Obed. Obed has a baby named Jesse. Jesse had a baby named David. And King David is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. How much more does God have for you? Do you want more from God? Come on, I need some feedback. Yes. There is so much more that God has. So listen, it's never too late to change the course of your life and make decisions that align with God's righteousness, regardless of your past actions. I don't care if it was yesterday. If you make a choice today to align yourself with God, God aligns himself with you. Amen? God used Rahab to bring victory not only to the Israelites, but saved her family, her entire family. I bet you right now, if you were to be able to ask the family, were they glad that she did what was right when it was right to do? They would be like, amen. Hallelujah! Right? Think about the family members. Think about who you are blessing. Think about how much they will be so overjoyed when you follow Christ and do the things that God has called you to do. Because the Bible says that the blessing flows from the head. And so when you do what is right, come on, somebody got to come up here with me. Come on up. Here's what happens. Rahab's family was connected to her, correct? The Bible says that the spies told her, listen, when we come to destroy this town, everybody, all your families got to be in the house with you, okay? And so because Rahab made the decision and because she was there, God was able to bless her family because of her decisions. So if I am going in the right direction and doing what God has called me to do, and I love my family and they eventually are following in my path, you want what's going to happen? Here we go. As I get blessed, they get blessed. As God delivers me, God is going to deliver them. As God teaches them about God, God is going to teach the family about God. Everything. Thank you. Every blessing, God wants to connect it to the people that you love. We love our families, and God understands that. You want to know how I know? Because we're His family. How we feel about our sons, how we feel about our daughters, how we feel about our loved ones is the way that God feels about us. And here it is, finally, last scripture. There is nowhere that we could possibly be if it wasn't for the grace of God. For His mercy. I want you to listen to this scripture as we wrap it up. Just listen and breathe. Ephesians 2, 5 through 8. That even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you and I have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are now seated with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus Christ. So God can point us all in future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that He has done when He united us with Jesus Christ. God saved you by grace, and this is a gift from God, so you cannot take credit for the gift. Rahab's story is a beautiful reminder of God's grace, His willingness to deliver you, to save you, to bless you. And here's the thing, as God's children, we need His grace over and over and over and over again. The Bible says His grace and His mercy is made new every single day. I came across this video that I believe in my heart is going to bless you about how a Father sees us, how our Heavenly Father sees us when at times we get into a mess, when at times we get muddied up and we need our Heavenly Father's forgiveness and His mercy. Amen. After you watch the video, please stand and worship.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.com.